from the Premier League. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. It's the final countdown. We're asking, will Son shine in Norwich? And how will Liverpool line up? Plus, who is essential or a differential for the last FPL game week of the season? Hello, we have made it. 37 game weeks have passed, meaning just one more remains. One final push to win your mini leagues, beat your rivals, or secure a new high finish. So let's see how much we can help you today. Joining me, Kelly Summers, is journalist Lars Sivertsen, who I'm told is in a very good mood after a very good week, Lars.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I'm very happy to be on for a couple of reasons. First, the most important one is I'm doing quite well. I used my free hit. It went well. But it also, it's a moment of vindication because I was on after, I think it was game week 30, is the one where no one had any players. And I decided not to free hit, and it wasn't a good decision. But I did kind of say the thing about these chips: if you decide against using it one week and you get punished, you know that decision could still turn out well in the end. And after a very good week, I feel like I'm kind of justified. So it's redeemed myself. I've redeemed myself not just with regards to this episode, but also with regards to a previous episode.
I like your thinking there, Lars. Hopefully, Matt Holland, the former Premier League midfielder, is just as chipper about his team this morning.
Not too bad. Not too bad. didn't do too bad. I think I'm into the top 600,000 now. So, yeah, it went better than I expected, to be honest.
That's since you've come on this podcast, I'm sure, Matt. And finally, our last panellist, last but not least, is FPL Family's Sam Bonfield, who is preparing to activate a chip.
Oh, isn't it nice having a chip left for the final game week of the season? There's something really exciting about going into game week 38, knowing that you can just have whoever you want on a free hit.
Yes, it is. I'm quite jealous about that. However, I, like Lars, was someone that free hit last week. 400,000 more managers used theirs as well in game week 37. That's largely because it was another double with five teams playing twice. And all of the top five scorers of the game week played twice, showing that sometimes it is worth investing in the double game week players if you know which ones to invest in. Now, two of those came from Everton on a huge week for the Toffees as they secured safety with a stunning comeback win on Thursday over Crystal Palace. Dominic Calvert-Lewin with the winner, but Richarlison was their highest scorer with 19 points. Lars, what a week to captain him.
Yeah, I just went back to basics with it, really, and looked at who had the fixtures I was the most happy with in terms of captaincy options. And must-win games against Brentford and Cuba and Crystal Palace, given that Everton's form had been looking better. It just seemed like not quite a no-brainer, because I did have the armband on Vardy until Saturday morning. So, you know, but I got there in the end. And you have to say, just Richarlison, I think, is one of the players who's really just decided to do everything he could to drag Everton across the line. He's worked tirelessly in this run-in and shown a bit of class under difficult circumstances.
Yeah, over 600,000 managers bought him in last week and they were duly rewarded. Now, the other three top scorers of the game week all came from Leicester City. James Maddison with the overall biggest points haul of 25, then Harvey Barnes with 17 and Jamie Vardy with 15. Lars did have Barnes and Vardy, as he said. Matt, you had Maddison and Barnes. Very good picks.
Well, I've had Maddison quite a while, to be honest. So he was always in my side. But Barnes was the big success this week for me. I swapped him in for Kai Havertz, who only picked up 1 point from his matches. So that was a big boost for me, getting Harvey Barnes into the team. A bit like Lars as well, I had my eye on Everton. Not Richarlison. I had Mikalenko at the back. Livramento to Mikalenko was one of my picks, and that didn't go as well as the Havertz to Barnes selection. He got 2 points, Mikalenko, just one in each match. So that didn't go as well as I would have hoped.
Yeah, I too have Mikalenko, so I feel your pain. But let's focus on the positives, because Barnes was a brilliant pick. As Matt has just alluded to then, it was a frustrating week for many, particularly those who didn't free hit and maybe had lots of Liverpool players in there, because Liverpool were subject to huge rotation. Jurgen Klopp making 9 changes for the trip to Southampton following their FA Cup final win on the Saturday. There were also blanks for popular players like Son Heung-min and Bukayo Saka. Sam, you captained Son. Harry Kane did score, but were you one of those managers that was left rueing a bit of a disappointing game week?
Oh, yeah. It's one of those that sometimes happens, isn't it? And particularly on the back of a cup final, I think you can see huge rotation like we did from Liverpool. And we also saw from Chelsea in their game against Leicester. You know, Mason Mount missing out altogether was really frustrating. I had him coming off my bench for Trent Alexander-Arnold, who hadn't showed up for Liverpool a couple of nights previous. So not getting either of them was annoying, meant I was down to my second sub, which is fine. But I think when you're talking about your mid-priced assets who can actually be the difference makers in terms of boosting up mini leagues, to not have Mount play at all and then to not have some of those key Liverpool assets either is a bit frustrating. But going into the final game week of the season, I would expect less of that rotation now from both Liverpool and Chelsea. Now, we've seen them have some rests in midweek, and of course with Liverpool still in the hunt for the league title, I would expect them to put out a very good side against Wolves at the weekend.
We'll talk more about Liverpool in just a few minutes. I'm very excited, actually, to hear about your free hit. Anyway, here is how our mini league is doing. Soldiers of Sondre has gone up to number one spot with just one game remaining. Just one point, though, separates them and second place Islanders. So it is all to play for. It's going to be interesting to see who finishes top in that. It's been so competitive in that mini league all season. Now, though, for one final time, let's preview game week 38. In recent seasons, game week 38 has averaged far more goals per game than the rest of the campaign. So as FPL managers, we are very much hoping it's the same again, especially given players from the top teams all have rather attractive final day fixtures. Manchester City have Villa at home, Liverpool welcome Wolves. Both of those teams, of course, desperate to win the league title. Potentially Arsenal host Everton, Chelsea play Watford at Stamford Bridge, while Spurs travel to another relegated side in Norwich City. So lots of really nice options for our FPL team. This week on Twitter, we asked, which players do you think are essential for the final FPL game week? Had plenty of responses, a lot of them talking about Spurs. FPL Cookie, Son, Kane and Kulusevski. And FPL Cookie is actually an Arsenal fan, which, Sam, I think says it all. As someone on a free hit, as a Spurs fan, I imagine you similarly were straight away putting players from your team into your FPL team.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I already owned Kane and Son, and they were going to stay as part of my free hit regardless of what happened. I think, you know, Son is in fantastic form. He's returned 20 points in his last two games against Norwich. He's just in fantastic form, and being one goal behind Salah in the race for the Golden Boot, with Salah potentially having a bit of an injury which may or may not affect his ability for playing in game week 38, Son looks fantastic. Kane has an unbelievable record on the final day of the season. He literally loves to play in game week 38. And of course, he's chasing records himself, although not in the running for the Golden Boot. So those two for me are a no-brainer. The Kulusevski pick is interesting because I think Sessegnon is right up there in competing with him for that Spurs third spot. And given the price difference between the two and wanting to fill my free hit team with as many premium assets as possible, I think I'm erring towards going with Sessegnon as the third Spurs player.
Interesting. If managers, unlike you, Sam, only have space for one of Kane or Son, who's the better pick at the moment?
Oh, choosing between the two of them is like asking me pick between my children. However, I think for me, with the Golden Boot race the way that it is, I would plump for Son. He is in slightly better form than Kane, although only slightly. And if Son is going to score goals, then likely Kane's going to be involved. But I do think the Golden Boot race just edges it in Son's favour for me.
He has been in ridiculous form, hasn't he, Matt Hollands? And I'm worried myself not owning him. And I think he's going to have to be my transfer personally this game week.
Yeah, 10 goals in his last 9 games, Son. I actually brought him in for game week 37. I took a -8 hit last week. I wasn't planning on doing so, but when Salah got injured, I then had to make a change. And so the natural replacement was Son. Didn't work out in game week 37, but I'm hoping it reaps the benefits in game week 38. But he's got the fixture. He's got the motivation. So I'm hoping for big returns from Son this weekend.
We will talk about Liverpool in a second, Lars, but if Salah isn't fit, is that an obvious transfer going from Salah to Son, do you think?
I think so, because it is a transfer I'm considering making myself. I've got Mohamed Salah in my team still, and the fact that he's not 100% fit, and just the fact that, of course, Liverpool have got that Champions League final coming up. I mean, even if Salah, I'm sure he would really like to play for Golden Boot purposes here, I mean, if they've got, surely the sensible thing is to rest him, and then I think you should actually consider taking him out. And that also frees up a tiny bit of money to finesse somewhere, some other position in the team. So I think that is an obvious move and one I'll be making.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will be making that move this week. Now, Kachampez on Twitter said both Son and Kevin De Bruyne are essential for their team this week. What do you think about Kevin De Bruyne, Matt? Because he's been in sensational form. It didn't work out in game week 37, but four goals the week before against Wolves. But can lightning strike twice?
Well, look, he's a great pick, isn't he, Kevin De Bruyne? He's played 90 minutes in his last three fixtures. He did get those four goals against Wolves, as you quite rightly say. He's having his best scoring season in the Premier League as well. So he's a great option. I can't afford him. I'd love to be able to pick five or six premium players in the side, but it's impossible. So I'm probably going to have to do without him. But if you do select Kevin De Bruyne, it's not a bad pick, is it?
No, I don't think Kevin De Bruyne is ever a bad pick. 12.1 million if you can stretch to him. 100,000 managers have already brought him in ahead of this game week. Is he on your free hit, Sam?
Yeah, absolutely. He was one of the first players that made it into my free hit team, to be honest. He's returned in two of the last three meetings against Aston Villa in the league, averaging 6.33 points per match in that time. And since game week 27, he's created more chances than any other midfielder in the game with 37. He's in great form. Man City need the win to secure the league title. De Bruyne was probably second into my team in terms of the players that I added on my free hit.
Where else should managers be looking if they're on a free hit, Lars, or if they want to make a big transfer for this game week? What other players stand out?
Well, I think you have to look at Chelsea. I mean, we'll get to that. I'm not going to trample all over future material in this episode, but I think just because of just a shared terrible form of Watford, you have to have some Chelsea, I think. And then, of course, the big issue is who's actually starting and some such. But we're looking at Chelsea assets. I mean, yes, again, I think Reece James, you've got to have in your defence, just because he's, again, I wouldn't expect Watford to score a goal, and he's someone who always gets forward.
Yeah, Watford have been pretty poor on their left-hand side as well, so it does look like it could be particularly fruitful for Reece James. Newell on Twitter, Matt, has said Mason Mount. Is he the standout option in that Chelsea midfield?
He's got a great record against the bottom four sides this season. He got 13 points against Norwich away, 24 against Norwich at home, 13 Leeds away and 12 with Watford away. So he's a great pick. I actually am not convinced by Chelsea this weekend. I know their form generally hasn't been great. I know they've already qualified for the Champions League. They're one of the teams that hasn't got anything to play for on the last day of the season either. But Mason Mount's probably the one. If I had to go for one, he'd be the one I would pick.
Come on, Sam, who else is on your free hit? Tell us who were like the first players that you thought they've got to be in this week.
What's really interesting about trying to create a free hit this week is that there is kind of a template that gets created with wanting to go with three Spurs players, getting a couple of Man City players in there, having a couple of Chelsea players because they've got a really nice fixture. And then that doesn't leave you with a lot of flexibility to kind of get in some differential picks or some players that maybe are more lowly owned than others. Christian Eriksen is a player that I really admire, and he's one that I added quite quickly into my free hit team. I think, you know, he's got a really nice fixture in game week 38 against Leeds. Now, yes, Leeds do need to go and try and win that game. However, I think that will leave plenty of opportunity and space in behind for Eriksen. He's fourth for chances created amongst midfielders since game week 28 when he first started for Brentford. He's got 25. That's more than the likes of Saka and Salah have got over that period of time. So being hugely creative, of course, it's Eriksen. He's also got set piece threat and all of that. And when you're building a free hit team, you need some cheap enablers in there too. And he is the perfect cheap enabler because in many other seasons, he'd have been a mid-price at least midfielder, probably erring on the side of being a premium midfielder because of his quality. So having him in there makes for a better free hit squad.
Okay, well, quite a few players are there to bring into your teams if you do have the luxury of potentially having two free transfers in this game week. Next up, let's discuss a little bit more about Liverpool, because we've touched upon it, the fact that there was huge rotation in midweek. Sam has said, Matt, that she doesn't think there's going to be quite so much rotation. What do you think?
Well, it's a week before the Champions League final, so I agree with Sam that there won't be as much rotation in this one. Mo Salah's the big talking point. Will he be fit and will he play? My feeling is that he'll be held back for the Champions League final. And so I won't be rushing to bring him back into the side. I sold him last week and I won't be bringing him back this week, even though I've got the money in the bank to do so. It would mean swapping Son to bring Salah in. And with Son playing at Norwich, there's absolutely no way that Salah can come back into the side when he's such a risk about playing or not. It'd be interesting to see whether, I'm sure the big hitters like Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson will both come back into the side. Virgil van Dijk's still a doubt, so he might not play either. I think it's a difficult one to go with Liverpool assets this week. I know they've got the title to go for, but you're not quite sure which team Jurgen Klopp's going to select at the moment. And I think it makes it really difficult to go with them. But Mo Salah's the big talking point and he doesn't come back for me.
Is he in that free hit, Sam?
No, I think I totally agree with everything Matt's just said. Klopp always talks about rhythm, and rhythm will be really important going into that Champions League final. But what's going to be really important to Klopp is that he has Salah and Van Dijk available for the Champions League final. And they don't really need to risk them in a game. I think he said earlier on in the week that he's hopeful they might have some involvement. Now, to me, that suggests I'll put Salah on the bench in case everything's going wrong and I really need him in game week 38, which rules him out of the conversation in a free hit for me, because if you're free hitting in premium assets, you want to be certain that they're going to play. And you are with Kane and Son, you are with KDB, you know that they're going to start those games because there's so much riding on it for those clubs. With Salah, I think you could save a bit of money and maybe look at somebody like Luis Diaz instead. I fully expect him to start in game week 38, a lot cheaper, and he's much easier to budget for alongside the likes of Son and Kane if you want to get a Liverpool forward player in.
What I'd say about Liverpool, and that's perhaps trying to justify my own position, because I do have two Liverpool players here, plus Salah, who's going to be moved out, but I've got Joel Matip and Alexander-Arnold in my defence, and I'm kind of happy sticking with them. I think with Joe Gomez being unavailable, the rotation options are not that many. Van Dijk not being fully fit, I suspect Klopp will end up going with close to his full strength defense here. The thing about Wolves is they've quietly been quite dreadful going forward in the second half of the season. I was just looking up at this. Since the turn of the year, actually only Norwich has generated a smaller XG number, a lower expected goals number going forward than Wolves. Now, so if you're a big believer in expected goals and slightly sort of advanced metrics like that, that means Wolves is the second worst attacking team in the league in the second half of the season. Doesn't really feel that way, but that's what the numbers are saying. So certainly Liverpool defence, if you have any, like I do, I'd certainly be sticking with them.
Yeah, Joel Matip's a really nice option, actually, isn't he? Because he scored in midweek. It looks like Konate has played in the Champions League so far in the FA Cup final. So you would think he would keep his place, Matt, or am I maybe looking into that too much?
No, I think he'll probably play as well this weekend. So I think he would be a good pick. I agree, actually, with Lars there. You know, Wolves haven't been great going forward. And there's no reason to sell either of those two Liverpool assets that he's got. Because I think in this last game week, I think you said at the top of the pod, actually, that there's more goals in the final week of the season. So defences aren't really a priority. But Liverpool, at home to a Wolves side who aren't great going forward, if you've got two of their defenders, then there's absolutely no reason to change that at all. And I think Matic will play in the league.
Yeah, you mentioned final days, Matt. For those that like omens, in 2018-19, Liverpool entered the final day 1 point behind Manchester City with a Champions League final on the horizon. They faced Wolves at home like this time, but Sadio Mane scored both goals in a 2-0 win. So if maybe you're a superstitious person, maybe it's Mane you need to go for. Well, I remember the days as well where Liverpool didn't have the squad depth to worry us in this way. It was only Pep's side that we were worried about. Oh, how things have changed. Well, there's some of the game's most popular assets covered off. Time now to suggest some slightly less owned ones. Final day differentials, the best or worst, depending on who you pick, way to climb those rankings. Generally speaking, differentials are less than 10% owned. So we've asked our panel to rack their brains and think of a player that maybe isn't in as many FPL teams that could score big this weekend. And Matt, you've already got one in your team, really, with Harvey Barnes, haven't you?
Yeah, that was a good punt last week. Although he only came off the bench, didn't he, against Chelsea. He'd played 90 minutes in the previous two games, scoring two goals and three assists. So he will probably stay in the team. I don't see any reason to change that. One I'm looking at and I'm interested in is Callum Wilson, who was outstanding against Arsenal in game week 37. 0.41 goals per 90 this season. He's got 18 goals in 38 starts for Newcastle. Now, he's missed a lot of the games where they've been very good under Eddie Howe. Him coming back into it, fresh and ready to go, I just think he might be a good differential on the last day of the season against Burnley. I know a lot of people, when they saw that fixture, Newcastle-Burnley, thought it might even be a relegation decider on the last day of the season, maybe at Christmas, when before Eddie Howe came into the building. And maybe Chris Wood, when he moved from Burnley to Newcastle, would have the final say in this one. I actually think, looking at it now, Callum Wilson might be the one to go for.
Yeah, Newcastle been in brilliant form. Looked really lively, didn't he, against Arsenal on Monday. Anyone you would suggest, Sam?
I mean, I have to agree with Matt first off. Wilson's got 26 points from his last three meetings with Burnley. He averages 8.6 points per match. So I think he's a phenomenal pick going into this one. And he's one I'm trying to kind of shoehorn into my my FPL team. I've got Eriksen and Sessegnon in my free hit team at the moment. And I think both of them look like really nice differentials. Sessegnon has played in the last five for Spurs, started in all of them since that Reguilón injury, which is going to put him in a nice position to start in this one. And of course, he's very attacking and he will be part of that Spurs attack going forward. So he could be a really nice pick. Like Eriksen, who I mentioned earlier on in the pod, you know, he, as I said, he's fourth for chances created amongst midfielders. He makes a lovely option going into this game against Leeds.
Lars, finally on this section, you teased earlier something when we were talking about Chelsea. You said, I don't want to reveal what's going to come later in the pod. This is the point later in the pod where you've got a differential from Thomas Tuchel's side.
Well, I just think, I know this is going to sound slightly mad. I mean, it's one of my jobs going on this show and making a slightly rogue left field punt that doesn't work out and then people get angry with me on social media. I'm fully going to live up to that role here. Now, I'm saying if you're in a situation where you're not doing very well in your mini league, this is one match they left. You've got to do something that your friends are probably not doing and something that might work. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't really matter because the season's over afterwards anyway and you haven't won. Yeah, if you're going for a big differential, I would seriously think about Romelu Lukaku here. Just because the fact that that Chelsea are playing Watford. I know Chelsea haven't been brilliant recently, but good Lord, Watford. I mean, some of the goals they were conceding against Leicester was just unforgivable. And whatever you say about Lukaku, like, no, he's not in great form either, but, you know, frequently accused of being a flat-track bully. Like, I would say that Watford at the moment are the flattest of tracks. And I think if you're just trying to do something slightly different to maybe get lucky and shoot up your mini-leagues, I think there's a case to be made for Romelu Lukaku this weekend.
You say he's not in the best of form, but 20 points across his last three game weeks. He didn't return against Leicester in midweek, but he did against both Leeds and Wolves the weeks before. It just, of course, depends, doesn't it, on who Thomas Tuchel picks. That's the one concern there, really, with Havertz. Potentially, is he fit? Is he not fit?
Yes, it is. What I would say is that Tuchel has actually, I mean, it's Havertz fitness related, of course, but they've got to try to make it work somehow with Lukaku. They've spent a lot of money on him. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, Chelsea have a big decision this summer. I'm not sure they do have a big decision with Lukaku because he's cost them a lot of money and I'm not sure where he's supposed to go. They have to try to make it work somehow. And a confidence-boosting end-of-season hat-trick against Watford or something would be very good for him and his confidence. And I think it makes total sense to give him another start here. And worth thinking about.
Good for Lukaku, not so good for me. Anyway, hopefully that'll give you some ideas if you are wanting to roll the dice. But let's now check out the fixtures that await us. Well, get your teams ready and raring to go by Sunday at 2:30 p.m. That's 90 minutes for all of the games kick off at once. And they are Arsenal against Everton. Must win for Mikel Arteta's side against already safe Everton. Brentford against Leeds, another must win for Leeds, but for very different reasons at the bottom. Then Brighton take on West Ham. Burnley, another game. If they win, they are safe at home to Newcastle. Chelsea take on already relegated Watford. Crystal Palace host Manchester United. Manchester United will want to win that one to guarantee Europa League football. Leicester welcome Southampton. Liverpool take on Wolves. You don't need me to tell you why that's must win for Jurgen Klopp's side. Manchester City versus Aston Villa, the same applies there. And Norwich versus Tottenham, who if they win there, they will get Champions League football next season. Now, as always, in this part of the podcast, our panel put a specific fixture under the microscope. I often do this in chronological order, but that's not a thing today, is it? So we'll start with the league leaders, Manchester City versus Aston Villa, Matt?
Yes, I've already said don't prioritise defences in this game week. And I think that rings true for this fixture as well. Man City, half fit, makeshift defence at the moment. They were all at sea against West Ham, so don't necessarily trust them at the back. And Aston Villa haven't won or kept a clean sheet against a big six side under Steven Gerrard. So that says to me, don't pick any defenders. Having said that, a lot of people will already have Cancelo in the team. And of course, he's a great pick, Cancelo. And as for Aston Villa, a lot of people have got Matty Cash. He's their top point scorer and the most owned player. But I'd be potentially looking to move him on in this one, if you can. In terms of the rest of the pitch, now, we've got, I think Sam's already said, Kevin De Bruyne is an absolute must pick in midfield. He's played 90 minutes in his last three games. He got those four goals against Wolves. 88 points in his last nine game weeks says to me that he's got to play. But if you haven't got the budget for Kevin De Bruyne, then you're looking elsewhere in midfield. And Phil Foden will come into your thinking. I think at 7.9 million, he's my only concern about Phil Foden is that his minutes are more at risk. He hasn't completed 90 minutes since game week 33. In the last five game weeks, he has got a goal and two assists. But I'd actually be tempted more by Raheem Sterling at 10.5 million. He's got three goals and an assist in his last two games before West Ham when he was rested completely. And I think Sterling will come back into the side for this one. So I think Raheem Sterling at 10.5 million might be a decent pick. If you haven't got that budget in midfield, what about Rodri?
Wow.
5.5 million, only owned by 1.8%. He's got three goals and an assist in his last five games. So he might be worth a little punt in the Man City midfield. Up front, I'm not convinced by Gabriel Jesus. I know he started four of the last five, but he's got no returns in his last three. So he's not necessarily someone that I would be hanging my hat on. So I think that's City, as far as I'm concerned. As for Villa, away at Man City, you're not going to be looking at bringing in too many assets, I don't think. I already said if you've got Matty Cash, then you might decide to try and change him for somebody else. The two players I'll be looking at from Villa, because I've already said that City defensively might be a bit susceptible, would be Buendia at 6.1 million. Only 1.4% ownership. He's the most informed Villa player at the moment. He's got two goals in his last four games. So I think he might be someone that you'd look at. And Ollie Watkins, three goals in his last five matches, 7.5 million. They'd be the two Villa assets that I'd be considering for this fixture.
That is the most comprehensive match preview we've had all season. You've covered all of the key players from both of the teams. So hopefully now anyone with Man City and Aston Villa assets knows exactly what to do. Let's move on and focus on Arsenal versus Everton. We've already mentioned some of Everton's key players. But Lars, for me, what's interesting me is what we do with our Arsenal players.
Yeah, this preview might be less comprehensive, but you're right. I've been looking at this and thinking about this. It's easy to think after that Newcastle game, that was a disaster for Arsenal. We need to get rid of everything. I'm not sure that's quite the direction I'd go in. Bearing in mind, I mean, you guys, you don't want to make a lot of subs ahead of this game week. I mean, if you're taking hits, you got to make sure you know what you're doing, because that's just for the one game week. Hits are incredibly expensive this time of year. And I do think if you're sat on an Arsenal attacking asset like Saka, like Nketiah, something like that, I'd still probably keep them in. Arsenal's record at home against teams below them in the table is very, very strong this season. They lost to Brighton, they drew to Palace and Burnley, but they won the rest of their home games against teams below them in the table. And Everton, you know, they're safe now. I mean, incredible scenes at Goodison as they secured their survival this week. And I'm not suggesting the Chelsea players are anything but top professionals. But even if they went straight home to bed after that, they will have had this incredible emotional sort of discharge here. Maybe that's weight off their shoulder. That means they'll play in swashbuckling style against Arsenal. But given how poor their away record this season is, they're really the worst away team in the league alongside with Norwich. I wouldn't necessarily bet on it. I think Arsenal, knowing they need to win this to keep some kind of pressure on Tottenham, I'd expect them to get the job done. And if you are sat With Saka, who quite a lot of people have, like with Nketiah, who's still a good sort of cheap attacking option. You know what? I wouldn't necessarily be in a rush to burn your one or two free subs on moving them out. I think that's not a disaster for you.
It's interesting you mentioned Eddie Nketiah there. I've got him actually in my team, but no returns in his last two, with Alexander Lacazette there as well. Should managers be a little bit worried about his start this weekend?
A little bit, maybe. Again, if you have free subs to use on a 5.5 attacker before the last day of the season, then the rest of your team is in very good shape, and I congratulate you. But I would say that if your plan is to have if your team has had and Nketiah starting, it's not a bad idea to make sure you've got someone in off the bench who can feasibly play and get you points, because there is a bit of a risk there.
Brilliant. I've got Teemu Pukki to come in if Eddie Nketiah doesn't start. And finally, a game that has nothing on it on paper, but Thomas Tuchel said his team really want to secure third, because, of course, Spurs' form means that's not completely out the window at this point. But you would back them to secure third, considering, as Lars has already kindly mentioned, they welcome a slightly understatement of the year out-of-form Watford to West London.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea also do have an advantage of a big goal difference change over Spurs as well. So it's highly unlikely that Spurs, even if I would like them to, are going to leapfrog Chelsea into third place. Chelsea have won each of the last five meetings between Watford and themselves in the Premier League, averaging 2.4 goals per match against them. They've also won the last two home games they played against Watford in the Premier League by 3-0, which suggests that this is going to be a bit of a goal fest in Chelsea's favour. Sorry about that, Kelly. Mason Mount was rested completely for the game against Leicester in midweek, so I expect him to be starting on Sunday. He picked up a goal, an assist and 2 bonus points against Watford in the reverse of this fixture, and is Chelsea's top goal scorer this season with 11. He's also their top for attacking returns with 22, as well as being top for goal attempts, expected goals, expected goal involvement. The list goes on and on in terms of Mount's performances for Chelsea this season. So he's the standout pick for me in that Chelsea attack option. Yes, I think, you know, going back to what Lars said earlier, you could go with Lukaku. He's going to be really hard to budget for, even on a free hit, whereas Mason Mount comes in at a much nicer price point for managers to fit around the rest of their teams and make changes in that midfield. The Chelsea defence also looks promising for this week. It looks likely this is going to be Rudiger's last game for Chelsea. He's got 48 goal attempts this season, which is more than any other Chelsea defender, and we spend our time talking about Alonso and Reece James, both of them fantastic options. But Rudiger's the most attacking of them. He's had the most goal attempts at that defence. He's also had 2 set-piece goals this season. And Watford have conceded 152 attempts from set-pieces this season. Only 3 teams have conceded more, which suggests, therefore, that Chelsea are going to get plenty of opportunity from set-pieces. Again, you know, you look at the other side of the defence, James and Alonso, they both started in game week 37. They both got attacking returns in that one. Alonso, like Rudiger, linked with a potential move away from the club in the summer. Chilwell is back in training, but I don't think we'll see him in game week 38. I think it's going to come too soon for him, and they won't rush him back against Watford. Maybe he gets a couple of minutes at the end, but I think that Chelsea defence is fairly safe. From a Watford perspective, sadly, Kelly, I mean, it's going to be an avoid, I think. There's lots of injuries to key players at Watford, which really isn't going to help their cause going into this one. I'm not entirely sure what kind of Watford team we're actually going to get to play against Chelsea, which probably boosts the favour of the Chelsea players altogether. Dennis out, King out, Saar out, poor record against Chelsea. While Pedro, he did return against Leicester, so maybe he's a good bench option if you're free hitting. In game week 38, but he's 5.4 million. There are cheaper playing options, the likes of Ashley Barnes, who's got something really on this game, the likes of Gerald Hart at Leeds, again, he's got something on it, and even Mateta at Crystal Palace against Manchester United, who defensively have been pretty poor recently. All cheaper, all could be better options. So I think it's an avoid on Watford, but definitely get some Chelsea players in your team.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm glad that's over. Let's swiftly move on to transfers and captains, shall we? For one final time this season, we're going to ask our panel their final transfers and their final captains for the 2021-2022 season. Sam, let's start off with your free hit. I'm not sure how good this will sound on a podcast, but run us through your free hit team as it stands.
It likely will change between now and the deadline on Sunday. But at the moment, I've got Dubravka in goal. I find the goalkeeper position a really tough pick this week. There's not a huge amount of clean sheets usually on the final day of the season. So I'm going for somebody who gets bonus points and save points on a regular basis, which Dubravka has been. A defence that currently sits with James Cancelo, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Sessegnon. In midfield, De Bruyne, Son, Eriksen and Mount. And up top, Kane and Tony. I think there's still plenty of potential to make some differential changes. And I might even risk going without Cancelo in this one because, like Matt said earlier, I don't see a clean sheet. That additional money I could use to really upgrade elsewhere.
Okay, so still a few decisions to make there, but I'm quite jealous that you've got your free hit. That said, I used mine last week and it went okay. What are your transfer plans, Matt?
I've only got one free transfer. Don't want to take a hit particularly. Everton safe means that I'm likely to get rid of an Everton player in Anthony Gordon in the middle of the pitch. And I've got money to spend because of my transfer last week of Salah to Son. I've got money in the bank. So Anthony Gordon is likely to the man to make way at the moment, and it's not definite, for Jarrod Bowen, who's been in good form. 33 points in his last three games, 3 goals and 3 assists. So at the moment, my thinking is Anthony Gordon to Jarrod Bowen, and I'm not sure on who to captain, Kane or Son.
Does it feel to you like it's got to be one of the Spurs assets this week, Matt?
I think so. I think with the fact that they've got the Champions League riding on it, so the motivation is there. Son going for the golden boot. Norwich have been obviously really poor all season, and that's coming from an Ipswich man, then they won't like me for saying that, but they have been awful all season. So it has to be Son or Kane. It's a toss-up. It really is a toss-up between the two.
Sam, we asked this question on the FPL show last night. We said, imagine Spurs are 2 or 3 goals up against Norwich City and they get a penalty. Does Harry Kane give it to Son Heung-min to take, knowing he's going for the golden boot, or does Kane still take it?
Son will take it, I think. I think if we're 0-0, 1-0, Kane will take it. If we're 2-0, 3-0 up, he'll give it to Son. He loves that man more than anything else in the world. And if Son is on for the golden, I think it's of course, the other thing that depends here is Son still behind Salah in the race for the golden boot? If Son's already got 3 goals, then Kane takes the penalty himself. If Son is still sitting 1 goal behind or level pegging with Salah in the golden boot race and Spurs are comfortably winning that match, he's going to let Son take that penalty, is my guess. It's all about teamwork. And you know, I've read a lot of stuff from the Spurs players in recent weeks about how excited they all are about Son being in the golden boot race and how they're all encouraging him. So I think team morale will play a part in that. And he's talking about giving his penalty to his best mate. I think Kane is one of those sorts of players that will be about helping his friend as well as making sure the team makes it to the Champions League.
That is, of course, a very hypothetical situation, but one that isn't beyond the realms of possibility. Anyway, back to our teams then, Lars, or your teams, I should say. What are your transfer plans? It sounds like you've got a few things you're hovering over, potentially that Salah to Son move.
Yeah, well, that's what's definitely going to happen. I just think because of Salah's fitness situation and the fact that it makes total sense for Klopp to save him for the Champions League final, I would like Son in my team. I think, again, coming up against the poor Norwich side. And it's not just that Norwich have been poor, but they've been poor in a way I think that suits Tottenham, because what they don't do is sort of sit back and just sit in a block of 10 men and just try to deny the opponent space. I mean, they like to play Norwich, and they usually let the other person have other team have a bit of space to attack into, which is what Tottenham like to do. I really think this is a good game for Son Heung-min. I think Salah to Son is the thing I have to do. But then the big question is, and I can't be the only one facing this dilemma this week, which is there anything that's worth taking a hit for when it's just one game week left? I mean, because you do have to, those 4 points that you're paying for the substitution, you've only got one game week to make those up again. Like, you have to hit very well on your transfer. And my concern is I do still have Havertz in my team for some reason. I've got Nketiah, who's not 100% nailed to start, as we mentioned earlier. It feels like I should do something to beef up my options here. And what I'm thinking about is swapping Jacob Ramsey for James Maddison. Madison, as we know, is a very streaky player, and he does seem to be on a streak at the moment. And I'd feel much better having him in my team. I mean, they do play a Southampton team who's looked a little bit on the beach recently. So I would normally almost never advocate for taking hits before the last game week of the season. But just because there's some iffy stuff going on with my starting 11, I might end up moving Ramsey to Madison just to get some more of those Leicester goals towards the end of the season.
Okay, well, I know we're going to check your team on Sunday evening. You're going to have taken a -8 or maybe even a -12. You're not going to be able to resist that point, so I can tell. Captaincy-wise, it sounds like, from what Matt said, it's got to be one of the Spurs options. He's going between Son and Kane. I'm imagining you're the same, Sam, but which way are you going to end up?
Oh, I'm so torn. It's so difficult to pick between the two of them. Kane's excellent historic record in game week 38. Both players, great record against Norwich. Kane's averaging 9 points per match against them. Son, 20 points in the last two meetings. Son's 1 point behind in the golden boot race. Kane is still going for his own personal records in terms of the top goal scorers in the Premier League and Spurs. I don't know what to do. I will probably go Son because the golden boot race just tips it for me. Plus the extra point for goals for midfielders kind of swings me towards him. Plus I do think that the Spurs team will generally be looking for him. He is playing as our forward player at the moment with Kane in just behind him. So I think I'll go Son, but it's really close.
That was getting a nod from Matt, which suggests to me he's going to eventually go Son.
No, that actually means I might actually go Kane, as because I think the majority will go Son if they've got a choice because of that golden boot. So as a differential and where I am in the league, I've got to try and do something slightly different. And by captaining Kane, that might be slightly different to the majority. So I might go Kane now.
I was going to say, wow, you're a brave man, but really, captaining Harry Kane is never that brave, is it really? It's not like you're captaining
Joao
Pedro or someone, no. What about you, Lars? Who are you going for then? Son, when you bring him in?
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, for the sake of the pod, it'd be good if I made an impassioned case for captaining Trent Alexander-Arnold or something, but no, it's Son. For all the reasons you just mentioned. And I look at it tactically as well. I mean, when Son does have an off game, I feel like it's often against the teams that sit deep. When he doesn't have space to run into and he gets a little bit frustrated. We saw it against Burnley recently. But Norwich are quite an open team and they do allow the other team like space to attack into and stuff. They don't just sit back. I think that favours Son massively. So he's my captain for this one.
If ever there was a podcast where you just need a conclusion, I think the conclusion of this podcast would be get in Harry Kane, but definitely get in Son Heung-min and captain him. And that is where we're going to leave it on the podcast today. Thank you to Matt, Lars and Sam for coming on today and throughout the season. It's been brilliant to have your insight and company. The deadline is 2:30 p.m. on Sunday. We'll be back with a season review podcast nice and early for you next week on Monday afternoon. So do keep an eye out for that. Remember, fantasy.premierleague.com is also constantly being kept up to date with lots of other hints and tips. And also a note to all managers who opted in to receive FPL emails from the Premier League, you will receive a personalised season review in your inbox towards the end of the week. Thanks as always for listening and the best of luck for Sunday. Bye-bye.